everybody. This is Chris.
And Kathy.
We wanted to take a minute to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate every listener and are grateful for this platform.
Please help us share our vision by subscribing to our show through your favorite streaming app. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
Check out our ever-growing list of affiliates and sponsors. Simply go to the show notes for information and links.
And be sure to use our promo code PETPOD22, that's PETPOD22, on checkout to receive your discount from our affiliates. And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Alon Landa, CEO of MedcoVet, and I'm a proud sponsor of Petability. We decided to partner with Chris and Kathy because, like them, we want to empower all pet owners who are trying to do the most for their pets. At MedcoVet, we specialize in advanced home laser therapy for pets. Laser therapy is a safe and effective treatment for common conditions like arthritis and wounds, and it relieves pain for most conditions caused by inflammation. With MedcoVet, pet owners can perform this treatment at home while receiving support from experienced clinicians. If you think your pet would benefit from healing at home, visit MedcoVet.com, and one of our clinical experts will work with you to determine if home laser therapy is the right fit for you and your pet. Tell them Petability sent you.
Welcome to Petability. I'm your host, Kathy Simons.
And I'm your host, Chris Cranston. Our podcast provides interviews and information to help your pets live their best lives. Hey, Kathy, how are you this afternoon?
Hello, hello, Chris. I'm very good today. I have two visitors that have been coming to my house every day for the last 3 weeks. Two little morning doves, Chris. They're so beautiful. And they look in the window. I love them so much. I've named them Jill and Bruce. And Jill and Bruce, yeah, they come by almost every day. I can't tell you how happy that makes me. Sometimes I just sit here at the window with my tea and watch Jill and Bruce watching me having tea.
Well, that sounds very zen. What a great way to start your day.
I know. I think they must have a nest close by because they come by every morning. I don't know if they want me to, I don't know if they want me to throw some Cheerios out or something. I don't know.
What are you eating in there, Kathy? What are you eating?
What do you got? So, I love that. It just makes me so happy. And another thing that makes me really happy is today's guest, Chris. We have a great guest today. We have Susie Langer, who is the founder of Bifford for President. And Susie reached out to us because she shares our vision of normalizing pets with physical impairments. And we love to do shows like this where we highlight animals with mobility issues living their best lives. And we've talked about this with other guests. We talked to the Austin Rue, the two-legged shepherd. We've talked to his dad, Ed, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked to our friend Dominic Scudera. He has three dogs, and each dog has two legs. So we love
and sharing. Don't forget Wink. Oh,
that's right. And we talked to Wink's mom. She's the deaf and partially blind Pity, who does all kinds of stuff, right? And
yeah, she's more than any dog should.
I know. She does a lot. And we talked to all these people about sharing their pets with the world and exposing people to animals that are differently abled. And so we've highlighted, a lot of dogs. So today we're going to be talking about cats that are differently abled, and specifically cats with cerebellar hypoplasia. And this is a neurologic condition where the cerebellum fails to develop properly. And the cerebellum is actually, it's really important because it's responsible for like purposeful movement and coordination. So what ends up happening is you get what we call wobbly cat syndrome. And I'll let Susie talk a little bit more about that and what that looks like and what that means. And the most important thing is that Susie, of course, has a cat named Bifford who has cerebellar hypoplasia. He is so handsome, Chris. Like that cat, it cannot be overstated how handsome this cat is. Susie educates the public with Bifford's story to show the public that, yes, he's differently abled, but he still leads a joyful and interesting life. And I think that's a fantastic message. So please welcome to the show, Susie Langer.
Hi, hello, hello. Thanks for having Bifford and I.
Of course. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
So I want to hear it from your mouth. Like, tell us the story. Tell us about Bifford and how you, you know, got behind this cause and just where it all began. Yeah.
So it began in 2014. I was volunteering on and off for a local shelter, and they called me up and they're like, yeah, I know you're fostering. We got this guy here. He's not really thriving at the shelter. He's getting picked on a lot. He's not really, you know, doing good. And he's been returned a couple times, but he needs sprung. He needs a weekend pass. So I said, okay, I'll take him home. So I get there and they're like, oh, by the way, he's got CH. Don't worry. Bye-bye. You'll be good. You'll be fine. So that was my very first introduction to CH, was when I met Bifford. I promptly panicked and wished that I could bubble wrap every inch of this house. But I knew once I got him home, there was a connection forming. And then I come to find out that Bifford had been returned several times for silly things, mainly because he has CH. I don't know. After that weekend, something changed and I just knew he wasn't going anywhere, despite me having zero idea what I was doing.
Well, thank goodness you took him in, Susie. Thank goodness.
So was that your impetus then? Because like you didn't know anything about what you were getting into. And so was that part of your initial mission to kind of educate the public about cerebellar hypoplasia, or CH as the cool kids say?
Yeah. That absolutely was, because I even asked the shelter at the time. I said, hey, I mean, pardon my French, but what the heck am I doing? What am I doing here? And they said, just look it up on Facebook. You'll find groups. It'll be good. But the true turning points of this whole presidential campaign he's got going is when I finally adopted him, I took him to a local wellness clinic to get vaccines. That's all he was getting. He was his normal presidential self, flirting and carrying on like he does. And a technician popped her head in and she said, oh, you're bringing him to euthanize him. And I said, no, I corrected her very politely. And she came back and she said, well, if it's a money thing, we'll euthanize him for free.
Oh my gosh.
I could say that I responded probably like a mother bear would, mauling somebody. I feel kind of bad, but my instincts kicked in. But after that, I realized that, you know what? She didn't know. She had no idea. Right. And I could have used that as a teaching moment, and I didn't. So after that, I decided that anytime anybody looked at Bifford or his brothers with a sympathetic tone, we're going to use it as a learning moment.
Perfect. Isn't it amazing that sometimes in your life, you get this once in a lifetime pet, this once in a lifetime pet that changes your view on
everything.
Changes your view on everything. I know I did a similar thing with, I had a blind dog, and anytime somebody approached us with, oh, that poor dog, I used it as a moment to educate them about, if you really know me and you know my dog, then you know you shouldn't feel sorry for him. Same thing for Bifford. He's having a good life. And I'm sad that it's sad to hear that even in the veterinary profession, they're going to say, oh, we should, you know, you're here to euthanize them. I feel sad, but also now I feel like, hey, this really is a moment and an opportunity to teach the public and the world that these cats with cerebellar hypoplasia can still live good, long lives, interesting, joyful lives.
Exactly. And that's funny you say that, because we actually distribute free carrier tags to anybody with a CH cat, because I hear so often from other pet parents that say, hey, I took my cat to the vet, or I took them there and they recommended euthanizing them. And I said, no, back up, because they didn't know what it was. So even in the vet field, we are really trying to reach a lot of places, because still the normal is to euthanize, and we want to disrupt that.
Yeah. And I think the more, you know, Chris and I always share the same mission here is, and I think the more that we expose the public to animals that have impairments, the more we normalize it. And I know that that's part of your mission as well. We want people to see Bifford doing things, doing cat things, right? And go, hey, hey, I've seen a cat. I saw a cat with cerebellar hyperplasia and he's doing just fine. It's, you know, and I saw a blind dog and that dog's doing fine. So mm-hmm. I like the message. I think you're doing really good work with this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We want to normalize the misfits because misfits
that's right.
are awesome.
That's right.
And your website, which is presidentbifford.com.
Yes. Presidentbifford.com.
Is definitely a platform for education and advocacy. And it seems like you've come a long way over the years, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's back up to, again, the whole, you know, President Bifford thing. So you kind of alluded to it. You said he was being his normal self at that wellness visit. So he was kind of dubbed this presidential candidate because of his personality.
Yeah, his nickname was President Hambone for a very real reason. So he knew, we always used to joke, if he became president, he would be the candidate that would be out schmoozing, kissing babies, because he was such a ham.
Mm-hmm.
It took flight from there. But I think that's a bottle baby thing, too, because he doesn't know personal space. I don't care who it is. He will be one with you very quickly.
Aw. Well, let's get into a little bit more about cerebellar hypoplasia, and so we can educate the public. So Kathy had said that another term for it is wobbly cat syndrome. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's something that happens in utero. It's a developmental condition where the cerebellum fails to develop properly because most commonly it is due to what, Susie?
It would be from feline panleukopenia.
Right. So that's a fancy word, but it's a virus, right? That,
yeah, correct.
That cats get, and it can be controlled, negated by vaccination.
Correct. And I do tell people, we have seen CH cats be produced because TNR organizations weren't aware of their FBRCP vaccines, if they were modified live or not, and they would vaccinate pregnant queens. And then that's how you'd also, that's how you'd also get CH cats. We've seen that in the past as well.
Gotcha. So if they're vaccinated with a live virus, then... Correct. That can be passed along to the kittens in utero. And
sure.
When I was doing some research, it was fascinating to me because it seemed like no kittens may get it, all the kittens may get it, or any number within the litter. So it's really kind of a crapshoot in terms of who gets it and who doesn't.
Exactly. And Bifford, he was surrendered to the shelter with his brothers. There was a litter of four of them, and they actually all had varying degrees of CH. Bifford was considered, they considered him the worst, but looking back on what I know now, we would consider him to be moderate. So basically I say, he looks like he has had a few too many tequilas is what a moderate CH cat looks like. You're still up and walking, but you're kind of clutching the earth because, you know, you just want to get a hold of stuff. That's a moderate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are varying degrees of CH. Is it mild, moderate, severe?
Correct. Yeah. Mild, you might only notice they might have a slight head twitch or they might shake. We call them intention tremors. So if they're concentrating very hard on something, or I've noticed if they're frustrated, they'll shake a little bit. And then severe, you know, I've seen severe CH cats that have zero mobility and require pretty much around the care, you know, clock care, but they were doing it, and God love their parents because they were out there just rocking it.
They're committed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Susie, is there any way are there any diagnostics that you can run on these kittens, or are they sort of based and diagnosed on their neurological presentation? Is there any blood work or anything that we can use as markers?
That's an awesome question. We get that a lot too. I tell people, you know, the gold standard to diagnosing ACH animal is to have an MRI done. But in a perfect world, we all know that can be a little pricey. So, you know, I always recommend to people, obviously, if it's a kitten that you, you know, had that was born from a litter that you witnessed, that they're showing neurologic signs, obviously, everybody starts out going to the vet. I always recommend going to the vet. If it's a cat that you just adopted that maybe they just started showing neurologic signs, I would recommend blood work and things like that. So it's a loaded question because people ask us that all the time. But, you know, there needs to be a little bit more context. Is this cat always done this? Has it, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a hard area.
Right.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Because again, in some of my research, just as you said, if it's a developmental thing, it often doesn't appear until that kitten starts to be mobile. Right. And like you said, they might walk funny or their head shakes as they're trying to eat or something like that. So as they get a little bit older, it may present. But to your point, if it's an older cat that's starting to exhibit these neurological signs, it could very well be something other than CH.
Correct. Yeah, it could be, you know, vestibular in nature. And it could be anything from an inner ear infection that has gone unnoticed to, I've seen cats that had nasal polyps that they would behave neurologic. I mean, we, you know, cases of rabid positive animals can be neurologic as well. So it's a really fine line and it's a tricky one to dance with. But I do tell people, you know, like in Bifford's case, say I didn't know anything about CH and he came to us, clean bill of health, blood work looked good. And his CH, you know, his neurologic signs were not getting worse. They weren't getting better, but they didn't seem to be getting worse. And he was doing good eating and drinking. He, you know, was bright and alert. So I just let him live his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now he's running for president.
Yeah. And now he's running for president and out kissing, you know, random people. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm interested to know, Susie, it's not progressive, right? I mean, it's not progressive. So we're not going to see as he ages an increase in these neurologic symptoms. It's kind of is what it is. Okay.
Yeah. But I have people that will say that they see their cat CH signs improve. And I will say, you know, yes and no, because do they improve? No. But do I think with, you know, physical therapy and proper exercises, they learn to adapt and they get certain muscle memory? Absolutely. So they get swift in some areas.
And Kathy and I, as physical rehabilitationists, definitely can talk to the importance of neuromuscular reeducation and those kinds of things. Animals are incredibly adaptable if given the chance. You know, we just have to provide the right environment and be patient. And oftentimes they can ostensibly improve, you know, so it looks like they're improving because they're functioning better in their environment.
Right? Absolutely. And that's what I tell people, you know, everybody said when they see Bifford or an animal like Bifford, I start to hear, oh, I'm sure it gets costly, or I'm sure that, you know, he's not going to live as long and things like that. But anything I think that you consider a labor of love, regardless, I mean, you're going to make it work.
Right, so, right. And these cats have a typical lifespan, right? They don't, it's not short. Yeah, it's not shortened by the CH.
Important, though, to also say that this is not painful, because I think that when lay people see anybody, right? A person, an animal of any type, dog, cat, or other, that moves differently, we often project that they must have some sort of discomfort or pain. Oh, but this condition is absolutely pain-free.
And cats really are, I mean, they're the epitome of determination and willpower.
And we put a video on TikTok of him pancaking it from, he climbed up this cat tree all by himself. He's so proud.
So great.
And I went to go help. Oh yeah. I went to go help him down. He's like, no, mom, I got this. And he's straight like face planted onto the ground. And he's like, I did it, you know, but
stuck it.
Oh yeah. But he was so proud of himself. And he like got back up and he's like, all right, where's my treat? Cause I did something cute. Oh yeah. Not phased.
Smart. That we should let people know, because I think there's a misconception too that CH might be contagious. So we should put it out there that CH is not contagious.
CH is not contagious, but I do stress to everybody, you know, if this is a cat that you just brought home that you do not have a history on or unaware of, I always recommend quarantining just because you never know. And we talk a lot about what CH symptoms will mimic if there are other diseases.
Right, right. And, you know, I've certainly treated dogs with cerebellar symptoms, but a dog can't necessarily have this disease because it's feline panleukemia that is the typical cause.
Well, I learned something interesting.
Tell me.
I know. Yeah, right. I know, because it like blew my mind. So basically it's feline distemper, which gives you a CH cat, but you could get canine distemper and get a CH dog.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I know. I had no idea. And I'm starting to see it, not as much as cats, but I am starting to see an increase of CH dogs.
Mm. Interesting.
Well, and I was reading too, I mean, you could also have a trauma, right? There can be, you know, some sort of, you know, whether in utero or shortly after birth or what have you, to that part of the brain. Sure. And I was reading also that if the mom is severely malnourished, that there's a higher propensity for cerebellar issues, causing the CH. So, this is just fascinating stuff to me. I was really excited, researching some of this for our chat today because I love to learn, don't I, Kathy?
She loves to learn and she loves statistics and numbers.
I'm going to put this out there to you, Susie, because I was potentially adopting a kitten from this vet clinic, and we ended up taking in this kitten. But at the same time, the clinic had a cat that was, they called Cerebellar. Now, what they told me at the time was that this cat may have gotten a virus or a bacteria or something from being exposed to raccoon feces.
Yeah. You know, so that's another. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. They are onto it because that's another way you can contract distemper is through, like raccoon urine and feces. Absolutely. Or if say a raccoon would urinate, you know, in a stream somewhere and the cat would go and drink from that, they can get it that way too.
Okay. So are all of these conditions called CH, or are they different because their source of contraction, if you will, of this disease different?
I always say it's like the wolf in sheep's clothing, because people will see on the outside that they are showing, you know, signs of CH, quote unquote. But what it's not showing is that it's not the underdeveloped cerebellum, it's because, you know, they have a viral infection that's causing them to have neurologic symptoms unrelated. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
They show CH signs, but they're not true CH animals, right, which is why it's hard when people send me a video and they're like, hey, does this look like a CH cat? Well, yes, but I've seen cats that had toxoplasmosis that also look like CH cats.
Right. Right. So in the true definition of the word, cerebellar is the part of the brain that controls, and I'll expound on that in a little bit, but balance and coordination and such. But the second part, hypoplasia, hypo is like under or less than, and plasia is development, right? Like your cell division and things.
I tell everybody, it's just like the cerebellum was late to the party. That was it. It was late to the party.
So before we move on from this, I do want to talk about, again, some of these symptoms of the cerebellum. So the cerebellum is responsible for balance, coordination, and fine motor skills. So again, when your cat, for example, is trying to manipulate a toy or, you know, swat at a wand toy, you know, that kind of thing, that would be an example of some more fine motor coordination. And also eating, I think, is an example of fine motor skills. And it will manifest then in some jerky, uncoordinated walking, possibly swaying side to side, which is kind of your a taxi or your drunken sailor, like you said, too many tequilas, head tremors. And that's where you see with that intention, like they're trying to maybe get to that food and then their head will start shaking more. Another sign is goose stepping or hypermetria, which means kind of a high marching gait. And decreased muscle tone or hypotonia. So we have that hypo again. So undertone, not having super developed muscle tone.
But I will say I only see the underdeveloped muscle tone in very, very severe CH cats.
Okay.
I haven't yet to see a moderate or a mild cat. I'm sure they're out there. I just haven't seen where they're underdeveloped in that regard, just because they are still mobile to an extent. Mm-hmm. They can be independent. I mean, Bifford, he's totally independent. The only thing he needs help with is the bathroom, which is why he has the haircut.
Yeah. So let's go into that, Kathy.
I think that would be great. Let's talk about what type of accommodations do we need to make for these cats that have CH? Do we need to have like low litter pans? Do we need to raise the bowls up high? What kind of accommodations do you need to make for Bifford or for cats that have CH?
Kathy, that's a great question. And I always tell everybody, it always depends. Are you like every other normal person out there that will just love their cat and be good with it? Or are you like me, who is a smother helicopter neurotic mom who needs to make sure everything is absolutely perfect because I'm a nut job, you know, one of those. So do you need to have accommodations for them? No. But do I think because Bifford has me totally whipped? Yeah, that's why I have my accommodations. But the only thing I do different, I have a bigger litter box for Bifford, only because he is a bigger dude and he I think thinks he is making snow angels because he will go in there and just have the time of his life. So to contain that, and again, I don't know if that's a CH thing or I'm a boy, so I'm disgusting, but he'll go in there and he'll just have such a blast.
and I'm, you know what I'm wondering too, Chris and I were talking about him yesterday before we were getting ready for the show, about whether or not traction is helpful for him, because in dogs that are ataxic or weak, we always say things like put down rug runners, use yoga mats. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you think traction in the home is helpful? Rug runners, things like that?
I do. And in fact, funny you say that, because Bifford, he is a long hair cat. He gets a lot of toe hair, you know, and we noticed that it almost creates like a Swiffer effect. And we actually started clipping his hair in his paws and around his toes, and he gets much better because his paws can actually grip the floor.
It's better traction.
Right? Hallelujah.
We love to talk about traction.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh, please. I could talk about that all day. Between him and his brother, Max, I can for days.
We love to talk about traction.
Well, and the clipping of the foot fur is, it should be such a simple thing. I mean, I realize that not all pets like to have their feet handled, but I love hearing you say it's a testimonial to how important that is. And the analogy that I always use is, you know, we walk around on wooden floors with our bare feet versus walking on those same floors in our wool socks. It is much slipperier in our socks.
It's funny you say that, because I'm just in the process of editing. We have a Swiffer video of Bifford with his long toe hair on the floor versus once we give him a haircut, and you can see the noticeable difference. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your website does recommend, thanks to your neuroses, many products that could potentially be helpful to people that are, you know, accommodating their cats, and not just CH cats, but maybe a lot of different cats that have different types of issues. So everything from wipes and waterless shampoo to the special bowl mats to certain types of interactive toys, the soft e-collars, the soft carriers. I can imagine if a cat's really has balance issues and, you know, falling over, that you know, no brainer, you wouldn't want them in a hard sided carrier that could potentially hurt them. And then even the products that we always recommend, Kathy, like Fell Away.
Oh yeah. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's saved us so much, huh, Bifford? Cause he used to get stressitis, and that was the one thing that fixed it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm treating a cat, I actually spray it on my hands. I want to, you know, I spray it on my hands before I go into the exam room if I'm seeing a cat. But I'm interested to know, speaking of all those things, makes me think of environmental enrichment and what Bifford's emotional life looks like. Like, what are some of his favorite activities? Does he do stuff like, does he chase his toy? Does he have a favorite, you know, laser pointer? Like, what's his jam? What's his day like? What does he like to do that's entertaining for him?
So Bifford wakes up in the morning promptly by headbutting the door, because that's what he does.
That sounds right.
He's got his own room. He shares it with his two other handy pet brothers. So I go and I get everybody up. Everyone gets breakfast. And of course, Bifford looks at me because why would I feed him that crap? You know, he loves to hunt. He likes to quote unquote hunt. So we have a large glass door that he can lay at and look at all day. And he will sit there for hours and hunt. And I think he really thinks he's getting these birds. But you know what? I will let him have it. And it's funny because we had a mouse here a couple of weeks ago, and the only one that was actively looking was Bifford. I have four other cats, and he was the only one looking.
Perfect. But
he's probably still thinking about that mouse.
That's the ultimate enrichment, the mouse in the house.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably thinking about it.
Yeah. He caught a mouse like 2 years ago. He caught a mouse all by himself. And I was beside myself because I'm wigged out to begin with, but he could not understand why this thing was not moving anymore. And I'm like, oh, honey.
Oh,
honey. But yeah, he's like the perfect hunter, but I don't think he, you know, has to get it together with his sea legs, and it doesn't always work.
He's still a cat, ultimately. He's still a cat.
Absolutely.
He wants to watch those birds. And in his mind, he wants to do that hunt, catch, kill. You know, he's probably run it through his head many times. Well,
and he has to be quick and coordinated to catch that mouse. I mean, you know, to a certain degree. So where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Oh, yeah. And Chris, we took him camping one summer, and he caught a mouse while we were camping, and he had a harness and a run on. So even with a run and a harness, he caught a mouse while we were camping.
I think that mouse deserved it. I mean, that was not the brightest mouse.
That is
not good.
I was impressed. I gave it to the boy, but I was impressed.
No, I would too. I'm just teasing. But I think this is a good point to mention, because you said you went camping and so forth. These cats should not be outdoor cats, because you mentioned early on, even in the shelter, he was getting beat up and bullied and so forth. They would not be,
they'd be prey. Somebody
would
prey.
Thank you.
Them.
Yeah.
Somebody
they'd be prey, somewhat defenseless, somewhat defenseless out in the wild, if you would.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I tell people all the time, you know, if you're having trouble understanding how important your fine motor skills are, think about when you watch somebody do a field sobriety test, when they do the DUI, you know, that's your fine motor skills. So try doing that when you're drunk all the time. You're not going to get away from a car or, a prey or any, you're not going to get away fast at all.
Yeah. So, Susie, I'm actually going to change course here, because I'm interested in finding out. I see you're transitioning from Bifford for president to the Misfits campaign. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So Bifford, because Bifford will be president, whether it's of the world or the Misfits. So we can do president of the Misfits, but basically, we just did CH, which is why we did Bifford for president. But then our life took a large, large golf club to the shin.
Oh, no.
and we got blessed with Maxwell. Maxwell is our little paralyzed pug puppy who needs my help to go to the bathroom. And he's got a different rare form of scoliosis. So that's fun. But I realized that there are misfits all over the world, just like Maxwell or Bifford, or I have a blind cat named Bart, that need an advocate. They need somebody that's going to speak up and be like, they're amazing. This is ridiculous.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're doing misfits.
Well, and I was going to say, thank goodness that Maxwell landed in your house. I mean, I know, you're like, oh, what next?
Very fortunate.
But that puppy is, yes, very fortunate to be with you.
It's funny you say that too, because this happens a lot in my house now that I'm reviewing it with you ladies. But when I decided to take Max, because it literally happened quick. He came in for a 9 o'clock appointment at my vet clinic, And by 11, he was already in my possession. And I'm calling my husband to be like, hey, I did a thing. And I had no idea. I had never met a dog like Max. I'd never dealt with a paralyzed dog. And in fact, I didn't realize he needed my help to pee on his own for a good like 2 days. So that was my bad for that poor little dude. My thing is I'm learning on the fly, just like new moms with their babies. It doesn't matter whatever the hurdle is, you're going to get through it.
And Susie, been there, done that, because with our first Cavalier, same sort of thing. Was leaving the clinic, specialty hospital, and she was being held by my technician in the evening. I'm like, what's going on? And she said they want to put her to sleep. She was 7 months and she had 7 seizures that day, which I know is something that you deal with. She was diagnosed with idiopathic epilepsy in the end, but I had to sign the dotted line to take over financial responsibility. And she had, 7 great, fulfilling, happy years in our care. But you get sucked in those moments of weakness, but she is my heart dog and always will be.
Oh, I get it. They are your soulmate, and they teach you so much. I have learned so much from having my crew here, and it's taught me to calm down, because like I told you, I was that crazy helicopter neurotic parent when Bifford came home. The one time he sneezed and he gave himself a bloody nose and I about come unglued. He was fine, purring, rubbing, he could, but I got freaked. Now he will totally bite it hard and I'll wait a minute. He'll look at me. I'll look at him and he'll be like, all right.
Right. And and I remember one time my vet said to me, she's like, you just take Dagny's seizures in stride. And I'm like, I mean, you just, you know what to do. You deal with it and you go on. It's just a part of life.
That's your normal.
Right? Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what I tell people. Normal is just a setting on your dryer. There is no universal normal. So what is messed up in my house, it might work for yours.
Right. And Susie, let's talk a little bit about the Handy Pet Alliance, which I think Chris and I just signed up for last night, right, Chris?
Yes
we did. Yes.
Let's talk about that.
So it kind of makes me sad a little bit, if we're being honest, that even has to be a thing. But we were so overwhelmed with people calling and emailing about, do you have a vet you recommend that might be more empathetic to especially disabled animal, and it got to the point where we needed a map. So we currently have a map on our website that has a bunch of awesome misfit friendly vets, and we're branching out to rescues. But the Handy Pet Alliance is basically that you are a safe haven for handy pet animals and their parents. You're not gonna try to bully them into euthanizing, or that better, or just tactics that leave these pet parents terrified.
That's really cool. And speaking of cool, it's called the Misfit Cool Veterinary Map. And there's also a directory of all kinds of organizations that support the misfits. So yes, we're happy to partner, with you there. And isn't there a special logo that you're promoting to get the word out?
We're working hard because we want to make this logo universally known. If somebody sees this, I want them to know that rescue or that vet or that transport group, whatever, they are handy pet cool. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to know it all. You just have to be open-minded and understanding. But if you rock this logo, then, that just leaves that line of communication open too, which I think is important.
I love this because I think there's a portion of the population who have handicapped or differently abled or sensory impairment, who might be afraid to go to the veterinarian because they're afraid they're going to hear that they should euthanize their pet. I love that we're putting up these links to people who are handicapped or differently abled friendly, and understand that these pets have value. And that we just need to support them in any way that they need to be able to move.
Absolutely. And that's what I tell people, if I would have thought, it's hard to explain because people, I think, look at Max and think, oh, you guys have the money, you have the resources, you have, you know, X, Y, but I will be very honest, we do not. We had somebody graciously donate Max's wheelchair to us because at the time I couldn't afford one for him. But we do physical therapy and the water therapy at home. We make it work. So just, I don't want people to think, you know, don't let the vet scare you into they're going to require a lot of X, Y, and Z. At least do your homework. You know, it might not necessarily be that.
Yes. Desire, ingenuity, and ambition can go a long way. And, you know, in all these cases that we're talking about too, it is, it's supportive care, it's symptomatic care. You know, with the CH cats, there is no cure, but, you know, you want to be able to go to a veterinarian or other veterinary professional that is going to help you with that supportive care, you know, a groomer, whoever it may be, giving you tips and things so that you can carry on your own and, you know, without having that backlash. Remember, Kathy, when we talked to Lori with Fear Free, and she said that such a huge percentage of cat owners are fearful to bring their cats to the vet anyway. Can you imagine if, you know, that's exponentiated because you have a cat with CH? You know, they may never get to the vet. Yeah.
Oh, I hear it all the time. And that's why we started doing the carrier tags too, because I had a few people that, one in particular that stuck out, and she said, you know, I took my CH cat to his vet. The technician and the assistant were new, but the vet knew him. Well, I guess the tech and the assistant saw him in panic, thought he was having an active seizure. So they started to shave him and prep him for an IV catheter until the vet came in and was like, whoa, this is...
Slow down.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Call,
which I understand because, you know, if... And they didn't know. And as a tech, if I saw that, I probably would have thought triaged it some similar way. But that's why we do the tags, because people, that opens up that communication too, because we have found so many techs and vet support staff that were not aware of CH animals.
Can you describe
the tags? So the tags identify your pet as having some type of physical impairment?
Yeah, so we're actually getting ready, which this just happened about an hour ago, so I get to tell you guys. We are getting ready to improve on the carrier tags. So right now we have wooden tags. They're like 1 by 2-3 inch. They're not very big, but they're big enough. Mm-hmm. And they either glow in the dark, they're brightly colored, they're glittered. They were actually made with love by my friends at the local adult workshop.
Love it.
Cool. Yeah, right. So each one says something different. You know, it'll say cerebellar hypoplasia. I've got ones for seizures, for blind, for diabetic. I've got so many that you can put on your cat's carrier, whatnot. And
didn't you send a whole bunch of tags over to Ukraine? And
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, we in the past year, we have sent out over 476 carrier tags from all over the world. But I can say my most rewarding and the one I will not soon forget were the tags that we did send to it was a vet clinic in out the outskirts of Ukraine. And we ended up finding out that it saved the CH cat's life and they ended up being reunited with their family.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know. Yeah. And it was just the best. I got to find the picture because they sent me a picture of the tag, but it just made me realize what good work those tags are. It just made me feel good.
The power of it.
Well, anytime we could talk about CH, I feel like, you know, we're making a difference.
Exactly. And you know, you were talking about these tags going all over the world. And I saw that you have a guest book on your website as well. And I saw entries from all over the world, you know, people, you know, thanking you for your work and describing, you know, their experiences and plights and things. There's a blog, your website is full of information. So please check out presidentbifford.com, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as we're wrapping up here, Susie, do you have any final thoughts? Do you have anything that you'd like to share with the audience? With regards to these cats with cerebellar hypoplasia?
I tell everybody the same thing. Obviously, you want to be with the cool kids, and the cool kids have always been the misfits, let's be honest.
It's true.
So, yeah, so you want to be with the cool kids. But more importantly, I tell people, go in with an open mind and an open heart, because I can very much promise you, you're not about to be disappointed.
Love it. I wanted to ask you, Susie, and we don't have to include this on the podcast if you don't want to, but you know, my final thoughts were kind of, I wanted to ask you about your battle with epilepsy and, you know, do you feel like that your plight gives you unique insights to what some of these animals are going through, you know, these cats with special needs and so forth?
Absolutely, because I can say that I didn't have my first grand mal seizure until I was about 24 years old, and I was in a crowded college lecture hall. So that was kind of a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. But I tell people I've lost jobs because of seizures. I had somebody ask me one time if it was contagious, if they could vaccinate their child against it. The stuff that I've heard, I've been robbed. I got my shoes stolen when I was having a seizure one time.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So I do. I will say that, you know, probably the biggest misfit of all in this house is me. But it's okay, because I always say, people always say, you know, that's sad. No, because there is so much love in this house. There really is. And could there be chaos? Could I be having a seizure? Could absolutely be. You know what? It's still all love at the end of the day.
Right.
Well, I could just hear like the cheery outlook. And I know you've mentioned that about, you know, the animals that surround you, you know, they always have a cheery outlook, and you do too, you know, and the capability that all of us have, you know, we have that potential to teach the world about resilience. But when you look at a cat with cerebellar hyperplasia, you know, that says it all. And I think, you know, you've also mentioned, like, despite, you know, them falling down, they just get right back up. You described that with Bifford. And, you know, giving these animals some grace, you know, through love, kindness, and patience, you know, we're going to learn a lot.
Yeah. Oh,
this has been very enlightening, Susie. Thank you so much.
No, I learned ladies, so much thank today. You. I appreciate this so much. I had so much fun.
Thank you. Well, you did too. Yeah.
Thank you for all you do for education and advocacy. And the, you know, like you said before, it's not about the sympathy or the attention. It's about getting that word out there. So thank you for being our guest, Susie.
Susie, can you, before we go, can you tell people where they can find you on social media and your website, please?
Absolutely. You could visit us at www.presidentbifford.com. We are also on Instagram and TikTok under hashtag President Bifford.
I'm voting for him. Thank you,
Susie. We need all the votes.
That's right. Thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Before we close our show today, I would like to once again thank our wonderful sponsors at Heads Up Pets Water Collars and A Dog's Best Life Box.
Yes. And remember, when you're going to place your order on either website, you're going to want to use the promo code PETPOD22. That's PETPOD22 for your discount on ordering. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed our show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
For more information about Kathy's books and living with blind dogs, please visit enableyourpet.com. Thank you, and please tune in next time.